Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This past week's coverage of Hurricane Florence has had all the trappings of a terrible storm. The satellite images, the sandbags and empty grocery stores, the newscasters dressed in flood gear. One recurring side character we seem to have avoided this time around, though, is the doctored image of a shark swimming on a flooded highway. It's a preposterous hoax that succeeds, occasionally, on the merits of some kernel of truth. For instance, whole swaths of interstate highway in North Carolina are, as of this moment, covered with water. That kernel of truth is what hoaxers and jokesters build their handiwork on, as did the veteran hoaxer Alan Abel, who passed away late last week at the age of 94. Abel made a name for himself inventing characters and causes and turning the joke on the media. In 1980, he staged his own death and got himself an obituary in the New York Times. Decades ago, he created a fast-talking character named Omar, who taught classes on panhandling. The news media ate it up.
Omar's intensive training course takes a week and costs $100. For that, students are taught gimmicks to suit their personalities and locations that Omar handpicks for maximum cash flow.
Aspiring beggars take 5 2-hour classes from this hustler. He says he's launched thousands of careers.
So how do we know who is truly homeless and who is a con man?
His primary intent, Mr. Abel often said, was to, quote, give people a kick in the intellect. To carry out his hoaxes, he sometimes enlisted the help of his daughter, Jenny, who grew up with this madness and preserved it for all to see in the documentary, Abel Raises Cain. I spoke to them both about 10 years ago, and I first asked Alan about an early hoax of his, SENA, the Society for Indecency to Naked Animals. SENA's mission was as refined as it was revolutionary.
To clothe all naked animals for the sake of decency, mainly any animal that stands higher than 4 inches or longer than 6 inches. We wanted to put Bermuda shorts on horses, jumpsuits on cats, muumuus on cows, and a nude horse was a rude horse in our estimation.
Now, you didn't have a larger message here, right? You were just having fun?
No, it was a test against censorship. If we're going to censor books, records, films, why not censor those naked animals out there? How do you explain to a 3-year-old child why Rover the dog is naked and mom and dad aren't? You can't. So he or she grows up with a double standard. They run away from home. They get pregnant. They take up smoking, drugs. And we have to stop that. So that was my message.
Okay. And it quickly gained a number of very serious adherents who didn't realize it was a joke.
Oh, starting with Walter Cronkite. He did a full 7 minutes on the CBS network about 40 years ago, and he's still angry today. I heard this from a friend of Buck Henry's. Walter is still angry after all these years he got fooled by that crazy campaign. He's not mad at Hitler, Mussolini, or Saddam. He's mad at us for fooling him about clothing naked animals.
Now, Jenny, as a kid watching your dad on TV playing these characters, what'd you think he did for a living?
All I really knew of it was that my father was a performer. I wasn't really cognizant of the underlying message, if there was one. I just saw this guy wearing a black hood on television and my mom saying, "Oh, Jennifer, there's Daddy on TV."
That was when he was playing Omar, the teacher of panhandlers.
That's correct, yeah. I was a small child at that point.
You just been bounced from your job, and you got to get something. You can't stand $100 a week, take home pay $74, $75. You need more than that. You need $200, $300, $405, $100 a week to live. Okay, you're going to get it, because this is what professional panhandling is all about.
When you saw your father on TV wearing that black hood, it terrified you.
He just looked so frightening. And in fact, I found the hood just by itself, I think in my dad's desk drawer, and I immediately leaped away from it. It was a scary revelation or realization, rather, to understand that that, in fact, was my dad underneath that.
Your father gets subsumed so thoroughly into his characters. Did you think he was a different person?
In a sense, yes. And sometimes I still wonder when my dad is falling in and out of character.
When I was in elementary school, I remember the other kids asking me what my dad did for a living. And I would say he's on TV, because I really thought that that was his job. But none of the kids believed me and taunted me for being a liar. I didn't know how to explain to them that he was on TV, but just never as himself. He would appear under different aliases, like Dr. Harrison T. Rogers, Bruce Spencer, or Count von Blitzstein, or Martin Ostreicher, or Rufus Thunderberg, or Martin Swag Jr.
When he's deadpanning, he just spews BS, and you get trapped inside of this weirdness.
Your father is nodding.
But most people don't get the message, Brooke. I don't think hardly anyone saw that Cinna, the Society of Clothed Naked Animals, was a satire on censorship.
I don't think so either, which raises the question, why bother?
It's fun. I mean, ideas like euthanasia cruises, when Dr. Kevorkian was hot in the news, it made newspaper stories all over the country. The idea of going out for 3 days from Fort Lauderdale, fun, food, sex, whatever you wanted. Then the deck is greased, the railing is taken away, and you slide down into Davy Jones's locker for people who have nothing left to live for. Now, I did interview after interview after interview with reporters who wanted to go aboard the Last Supper. That was the name of the ship.
Why a spoof about some bimbo winning the lottery?
Well, this young lady came to me, Lee Trill. She's a fine actress. And she said, you know, I don't know whether to wake up in the morning, brush my teeth, or take an overdose. I'm so despondent. I go to these cattle calls as an actress. They want me for my body rather than my brains. I need some stardom. How am I going to get it? So I thought about it and thought about it. At that point, the lottery was up to, I think, $35 million, one of the biggest ever back in 1990. I said, why don't you pretend to win the lottery, and you'll be a darling on the front page of newspapers, maybe, if the Giants don't win.
30-year-old Charlie Taylor has probably given her last manicure and facial. The Dobbs Ferry cosmetologist is the lucky winner of last night's $35 million lottery.
There is a woman from Dobbs Ferry, New York, who may be the luckiest person in the state tonight.
The 30-year-old cosmetologist is the single winner of the $35 million lottery jackpot.
It was that Sunday the Giants did not win. Lee made the front page of the New York Post, the Daily News, and all of the other newspapers all over the world, because here she is, a beautiful young lady who is single, who has $35 million. How can you, as an editor in any newspaper, ignore that as a headline? You can't.
You have spent your entire career gulling, fooling, and humiliating the media. What's your opinion of the news?
Well, you're looking for perversions and calamities. Really, you want obscene, offbeat stories. When I was at the 2000 convention, Republicans, all the reporters were there. They were looking for someone to interview. And they're all in caucus. They're all in meetings. There was nobody there except a few pigeons and rabbits and Citizens Against Breastfeeding.
Should women be allowed to breastfeed in public? One of our guests tonight says absolutely not. Jim Rogers is the East Coast spokesman for Citizens Against Breastfeeding. And Leslie Burby is the vice president of ProMom. So, Jim, let's start with you. What's wrong with breastfeeding in the open? Is it too sexy?
I did 200 interviews following that stint there in Philadelphia.
Jenny?
Yes.
You narrate throughout the documentary, you talk about both your mom and dad as a kind of curiosity, even to you, even now. When you look over the totality of your parents' life, how do you see it?
Well, I do believe that my dad, he is an activist in his own weird way. I don't know. I don't want to say that my dad has changed the world, but I do think that he's changed the way people think, and maybe that's more valuable. I'm not sure.
Jenny Abel, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brooke.
Alan, thank you too.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Jenny Abel co-directed the documentary Abel Raises Cain about her father, Alan Abel. I spoke to them both in 2008. Alan Abel died last week.